All right, I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy, and Charlie Johns Mayor cannot join us tonight. He is on the way to a meeting. He'll be with us next week. So Andy asked me a question, though, before we closed out the last hour.
Are you man enough to answer this?
Sure.
Okay.
He asked me, why do a lot of men back into parking places and a lot of women pull in? And this is a general response, not a every person listening, you know, gender response, but in general, I'm going to get in so much trouble for saying this.
Okay.
In general,
good knowing you.
In general, I think the majority of people that pull in versus back in is they suck at parking, male or female.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just saying it as it is. They suck at it. Some people park really well. Others really struggle with it. I guess doing what I've done all these years, especially now, even after being out all weekend and, you know, being with, you know, people that you watch them drive and park, you know, plowing snow and so on, you can see all sorts of human behavior that way. I will tell you that there are lots and lots and lots of individuals that don't have a clue about how to park, male and female.
Okay. I don't know.
Now, we can take that one step further. I was taught early on, and I'm thankful for this, that, you know, growing up in a car dealership, of course, in a car dealership, you back all cars in because you can't sell a car from the back. You typically sell a car with it facing the customer, not away from the customer. It's just,
right, face, you know, value.
Number one rule of sale. So you back those cars in. So I learned how to back cars in at a very early age, 13, 14 years of age, something like that, maybe even earlier than that. You know, I was parking cars when I was probably 12. So you just learned to, you know, back cars in. That's just how, and back then we didn't have backup cameras. You used a mirror and you got it straight.
Sure.
And you just knew how to do all of that. And you knew how to line up to the car next to you as well. On top of that, you know, my dad taught us at an early age also that the majority of children, kids that are backed over around homes are, from what I just said, they're backed over. A lot of injuries at home are caused by that. Well, you avoid those injuries by backing in instead of pulling in, because you're always able to see what's in front of you, but it's hard to see what's behind you in a lot of cases. Now, I realize backup cameras, things like that, you know, have helped in those areas, but I guess just over the years, I've always been one of those guys, Andy, that just backs in because of all the things we're talking about.
Okay. I got to be honest. For me, it's totally different.
Okay.
May I?
Go ahead.
I want to be in launch mode.
Yeah, you want to go.
I want to go. I want to be ready to go. But also, John, I want to have everything in front of me so I can see it.
Sure.
All right.
And I agree with that, by the way.
Yeah. And like, especially at the supermarket, any kind of store, mall, whatever. If I'm coming out, I want to be able to see everybody who's coming on the left and the right. And you know what it's like. You lean forward and cock your head each way and be able to see it. That, when you're backing out, you really can't see anything.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I am a big believer in backing in for a lot of the reasons that you're talking about.
But
number one reason is the ease. It's just the ease of leaving.
Okay, but, and let me be honest here, because I don't know. I don't understand why the genders would be any different here. But I know almost no women, almost none, who back in, who want to be in launch mode, who want to be able to lean forward and be able to see what's coming and so forth. They are not thinking about that next step. I'm not saying it's better or worse, too. I'm just saying it's been one of these really odd sociological things, you know, for me to study. Why do men back in at a much higher rate than women? Women almost never back in. I'm sure there are some, don't get me wrong, but almost never do they back in.
I don't know if I can disagree. I mean, you know, I don't think I can disagree with you. I think you're probably right on the why do some back in. Does it have to do with, you know, planning ahead and thinking about the next move and making sure that they're ready in that case and so on? And I can't say as I disagree with that.
Yeah, and obviously women are capable of planning ahead. My wife is fantastic at budgeting. You'll find women who are incredible at the game of chess.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so obviously it's not any kind of a natural ability of planning ahead. Mm. But men, in our culture, for some reason, want to think to the next step much more. You know, and like I was saying earlier, we were talking about eating dinner.
Mm-hmm.
The best part of the dinner, whatever it is usually the last thing I eat. I want that to be the last thing I taste. My wife, she'll dive right in and eat everything at once. okay, some of this, some of that, mm-hmm. some of this. If I'm having bacon and eggs, the bacon is usually almost alone on the plate at the end. Why?
Because you like it best.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
and I want to save that for last.
Well, and I think a lot of this, and we talked during the break a little bit, part of this conversation can even go into how people vote. Who do they vote for? How are those ads being presented to those individuals that they're trying to get to vote for them? And I think a lot of what you just talked about has to do with all of that.
Are they thinking about how people are affected right now or how this affects us going forward? Next, how does this affect the budget going forward? Do I want somebody who frees up as much money right now, or do I want somebody who lowers deficit spending going forward?
Well, it's like we talked with Jordan Goodman during the first hour. You know, you and I, yes, we care about the trillions of debt that we've taken on through COVID, which, frankly, I don't think we had to take any on. We did it.
Agreed.
We did it because it was forced upon us, and states forced it upon us, and on down the line we go. I'm not going to get into that right now because you all know my position on that. But, you know, the reality is we caused this economic deficit because of the draconian measures we've taken in COVID, and they weren't needed. In fact, I think we're going to learn as time goes by. It was some of the dumbest things we've ever done in history.
Agreed. And once again, now, is this an absolute? Of course not. And I can tell you right now, my wife, if there's one thing she despises above all about the left, and there's a lot, it's that they spend money we don't have yet.
Right.
They spend us into debt.
Into oblivion.
Yeah, into oblivion.
Yeah.
And let's face it, we don't have a future as a country with what we've done with the money.
No, we've hawked it all.
Right.
Literally. So, no, okay. So we're going to talk in this next segment because of COVID. This is a great segue. Brian Del Monte is going to join us. He's an aviation expert and a former director at the U.S. Department of Defense. And we're going to talk about some things that are happening in the EU when it comes to vaccine passports. And by the way, this is a big discussion because this is one of the fears that I have with what's going on right now. Is it's going to get to the point where if you want to travel by air, especially in and out of the country, we're going to talk to Brian, but I could easily see things moving in that direction to where you've got to have some sort of an electronic passport that shows you've been vaccinated or you're not hopping on the plane.
Oh, yeah. And that's coming with more and more nations.
Yeah, I could. So we'll talk to Brian in a minute. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Up next, though, Flesh and Beck is up. Kevin Flesh, another number, just like a good shop that you should have in your speed dial, basically put it in the phone, is Kevin Flesh, fleshlawfirm.com. And the reason for that is if you're involved in an accident, there are several things, by the way, that you need to be doing at the time of the accident. And if you forget what they are, you need to have Kevin, again, on speed dial, 303-806-8886, 303-806-8886. But really quick, one quick tip, and I know this from talking to Kevin all these years, say nothing. Say nothing. Don't admit to anything. Don't talk to anyone. If you need to exchange information with the, you know, because the police are there and you've got to give them things, of course, that's what you need to do. Take lots and lots of pictures. But at the end of the day, do not talk to anyone and do not say anything. Because guess what? All of that will be used against you, even if it's not your fault. So be really careful with that. That's my tip from Kevin, and I know he would agree with that. So if you need anything when it comes to that, give Kevin a call, 303-806-8886.
Avoid the pitfalls with Kevin Flesh. Picture this. You're in court before a judge and jury trying to get the at-fault party's insurance company to cover your hospital bills, and the defense attorney pulls out your medical records. Comparing what you said to the police at the scene of your injury to what your doctor transcribed, you've contradicted yourself. You start to get nervous. You don't want to look like an idiot, but you simply don't recall what you said to the police. That was a long time ago. KLC's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law, prepares you for these kinds of questions so you never need to worry about what to say. Of course, the opposition will always try to call your credibility into question. But with Kevin Flesh, you always know exactly how to respond. Schedule a free consultation now at 303-806-8886. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Trial tested. Trial ready.
Gino's Auto Service. Folks, with this snowstorm we just went through, some of you, by the way, if you've been trying to get unstuck, because you've been in a jam that way, you know, you've been in a snowbank or even just getting out of the city streets, and if you've had to rock that vehicle back and forth and do different things to get it, you know, free, you may want to have that vehicle inspected by Geno's, and I mean that sincerely. Not saying you did any damage, but let's make sure you didn't. Contact Geno's today, get the vehicle looked at to make sure things are sensitive in that area, and you do not want to do that, by the way. That's one of the no-nos of today's cars. So if that happened to you and you did find yourself stuck and you just want a good check over, have Geno's do that for you. 303-794-6700 or find them at genosautoservice.com. And don't forget, that's Geno's with a J.
For over 38 years, Geno's Auto Service has been serving Littleton and customers along the Front Range. Right now, you can take advantage of Geno's $74.99 four-wheel alignment special. Mention KLZ Radio and they'll include a free inspection of your suspension. During the winter months, icy roads and potholes can damage your suspension, so it's worth getting it checked out. This month, get a $50 NAPA prepaid Visa card with a qualifying NAPA steering and suspension parts purchase of $250 or more. As members of Colorado Select Auto Care, Geno's backs up their service with NAPA's nationwide peace of mind warranty. Geno's continues to service Larry's automotive customers. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Give them a call or go online to schedule an appointment. And be sure to check out all of their excellent Google reviews. They're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stop in or visit them online at GenosAutoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself and Andy, Charlie's getting our next guest lined up. A question just came in, though, Andy. Maybe we can do a little research on this after the show, because I don't know this off the top of my head. Do you or Andy know what bill contains the new regulations the Dems want to place on independent contract workers? And no, I don't know the name of that bill. I've heard of it. I've not studied it. I need to look into that more, maybe even get somebody on that can talk about that.
Oh, gosh, it's got freedom in it.
Because they, it's basically titled the Uber bill, I guess. Charlie would, you know, you could.
I'll see what I can look up.
You could shorten that up. And as we find that out, I will do my best to try to get somebody on to talk about that. Charlie also recommended a moment ago that I find somebody to come back on and talk about CBD and all the benefits of. And I will do that. I've had a couple of guests lined up here recently that last minute had to back out that I had lined up to talk about CBD. So I will do my best to try to get that handled here in the coming weeks. Brian Del Monte, though, joining us next. Aviation expert, as I said earlier, former director at the U.S. Department of Defense. Brian, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Good. Thanks for having me. How are things in Denver after the snowstorm?
Oh, we're surviving. We got a little flurries coming in tonight, but nothing major. And you know, we've been through this before, so we'll be. I don't know about our transplants. Us natives are fine, but some transplants may be struggling.
Well, we got 6 inches of it here in Minneapolis, so we're the same.
Not You're used to it.
Not a big deal.
Right. All right. One thing I have been worried about and I think is a big deal, and I'm glad you're on because it's something that you really has been at the forefront of my mind. I travel. I like to travel in and out of the country, by the way, not just inside the country. And I can really see things moving forward where there's some sort of an electronic, you know, passport that shows, you know, where your vaccines are. I could easily see us getting to that point. And I don't want it to, Brian. I'm not advocating for that, but I could see us heading that direction. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. I don't think there's a grand push to have digital records and everything else. I mean, the issue with the vaccine is there's really two problems we're trying to solve, right? The first problem is understanding who's been vaccinated, right? So they're going to ask, have you been vaccinated or not? So that's the first question everyone's trying to solve. And then the second question they're trying to solve is, and how do we know you're telling the truth? Okay, those are really the two problems that the vaccine passport idea is trying to solve.
Okay.
Have you been vaccinated, and how do we know you're telling us the truth, right? And so the way that that's been dealt with traditionally with travelers and everything else has been through these cards, and we still use them. I mean, if you travel to places
right.
with yellow fever,
right.
you have to show you've been inoculated, right?
That's right.
But the reason why, you know, before COVID, when you went to France, they didn't demand to see your measles, mumps, and rubella shot, right, or anything like that, is because there was a high degree of vaccination between both places. And so we felt, you know, it really wasn't worth the extra effort to have to track all this. I think initially we're going to have passports because we're trying to reopen travel. And we want to answer those two questions. But once vaccine levels get high enough around the world, I don't know that there's going to be this great impetus to keep the game going and develop this infrastructure to track vaccination. Now, there may be some response, though, given the amount of damage that COVID did globally to the economy, to countries, to figure out a way to detect. So if I were looking at these things, I'd be more worried about regimes about testing than I would be regimes about vaccination.
Okay. And again, you are an expert when it comes to this and the travel and the, you know, just the aviation industry in general. And I look at this, Brian, and think, listen, the aviation industry in general needs to figure out how to get more seats on the plane. And right. I don't see this helping in that area.
Well, two things have happened. Yes and no. See, the funny thing is that the industry has been kind of schizophrenic. When there wasn't a federal mandate or a federal push to do these things, especially like think about this time last year, April, May of last year, right? It's still safe to travel. You can still go places, right? And Delta and, you know, United and whatnot. We're going to have testing. We're going to have masks. And they were doing anything they could think of to convince people travel was safe. Right?
Right.
And now it's, okay, there are these mandates, there are these federal rules, and the airlines and whatnot are like, whoa, wait a minute, we don't want to have to administer all that. So they've been somewhat schizophrenic on this issue, okay? But I agree with you. In general, they're going to be very resistive of any kind of impediment to travel within the United States. There's a whole bunch of other problems that go along with that. Especially since the right of travel is a fundamental right, okay? So you can't just willy-nilly, you know, regulate it. The second issue, though, is it's going to create undue burdens for the airlines and the airports, and it already takes forever to get on an airplane.
Right.
And so, you know, you're going to add another layer on that. Now, international travel is a completely different animal.
Right.
And I would expect that we are going to demand that individuals coming into the United States at some point demonstrate that they've been vaccinated with a vaccine that we recognize, and there's going to need to be a regime to verify that. And similarly, other countries are probably going to request the same of Americans. And so it creates all these problems, especially in terms of information sharing, privacy. But let's take something that's not so wrapped up in like personal identifiable information that's going to create a problem. Take a look at the AstraZeneca vaccine at the moment, right?
Right.
The European Union is very schizophrenic about whether or not it wants to use that vaccine. The United States hasn't recognized it at all. So let's say a British person attempts to enter in New York. Are we going to recognize that as being a legitimate vaccine?
Great question.
Now, I suspect so, but, you know, these are all the questions that have to get worked out.
Yeah, great questions.
It's not going to, like, happen tomorrow.
Right.
Well, especially, Brian, since we kind of cornered the market on the better vaccines. For good reason. Well, I mean, we helped, you know, invest in developing them, but we kind of cornered the market so the EU doesn't have the same access to those vaccines. If we were to require those better vaccines for entry here, see where I'm going?
I do. I don't know that I agree entirely with the characterization of better and things like that. I do understand what you're trying to say in terms of vaccine supply. The reality is half of all the vaccine that's been produced has wound up in the United States. And half of all the people who have thus far been vaccinated are in the United States. And so there's definitely going to be, let's just say, tension between the United States and its allies over, if nothing else, the rate of vaccination. Okay? Forget what type of vaccine you get. But again, these are issues that all have to get resolved, because in the end, the goal is everyone wants to be able to go back to normal, right? So what's the way to get there? Everyone needs to demonstrate that they don't represent a biological risk. And so those are the problems that really everyone's trying to solve. How do we make sure that we keep people safe and thus allow them to travel?
Yeah, no, no, these are great questions. I think also, and it's in my notes, and it's something I hadn't really thought about, but you know, this is also a situation where if we go down this path, we could inadvertently cause all sorts of, you know, not only discrimination, but the haves versus the have-nots if we go down this path. Am I right?
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's historical precedent. It's going to exacerbate tensions between developed and non-developed countries. It's going to exacerbate tensions in terms of, you know, claims about hegemony and, you know, American predominance and, you know, in international right. institutions. It just, you know, some of these arguments are just, as someone who used to do this for the government, it's somewhat just unavoidable, okay?
Right.
But when you look at AIDS, when you look at SARS, you know, why should COVID be different in terms of how it plays out internationally? The reality is the United States is making great strides in vaccination. That's not true all over the world, and it's not going to be true.
True. That's true.
You know, when, right. when President Biden says, you know, by Labor Day or Christmas or 4th of July or whatever date we set, I guarantee you that's not going to be a universal date around the world that everyone is vaccinated. So, yeah, it's going to create these tensions, which we're going to have to resolve. And there'll probably be political tensions in this country because we're going to be asked to resolve those problems. And it's in our interest to do so because it's my position, we disproportionately benefit, we being the United States, we disproportionately benefit from a safe, stable, and peaceful world. So we're always the ones that lead the way on these issues in humanitarian crises.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. What, I guess, crystal ball, what do you predict?
I think there's going to be a lot of talk about it. I think towards the end of the year, when international travel becomes a realistic problem, you know, possibility, that we're going to have some mechanism for people who have received, you know, the big vaccines that are out there, you know, Pfizer, Moderna, you know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and AstraZeneca, that, you know, we'll have a way of validating, yes, indeed, they got those shots. And those people will be able to travel without quarantine. And I would expect to look for that by the end of the year. I'm less worried about a permanent regime. And I'm not, you know, even though the Biden administration has said, hey, look, let's look into doing this for domestic travel. I think that that's a tactic to try to get people to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
You know, to increase incentivizing, you know, getting people vaccinated. There's a difference between saying look at it and do it as somebody who's been in government. So look at it. Sure, we'll look at it. It's a nightmare. We don't know how to do it. That's right. Different from I want you to do this.
Right.
Hey, Brian, one last question here. What about the greatest immunity you can have? And that is if you have had COVID and you've gotten over it, now you have the antibodies. Recent testing shows the chances of you spreading it at that point or contracting it are almost nil. In fact, it's much more effective than the vaccine. Could that be used? Could you show something and say, hey, I've recovered from COVID.
I've got the antibodies.
Yeah, so I have the antibodies. What about that?
Well, the simple answer is, sure, it could, but unfortunately, we don't have mechanisms to answer the two questions that I posed at the beginning, which is, are you immune and can you prove it? We don't have that infrastructure for people who might have natural immunity to demonstrate it, which is why, in part, the CDC is like, and I've had COVID, okay? Which is why the CDC is like, even people who have had it, even people who have had mild cases, like myself, still get vaccinated. Because when I went to do an antibody test, I didn't show antibodies.
Hmm.
Now, maybe the testing didn't work.
Right.
Maybe the antibodies are, like, you know, not constantly present in high enough number to detect. So I'm not saying, no, you couldn't use people who have natural immunity. What I'm saying is I don't think we have a reliable enough mechanism.
Yeah, that I agree with. Yeah, we don't have
to know
yeah,
whether or not they're immune.
Which that's one of the, by the way, one of the complaints that I've had, Brian, is we've spent billions of dollars on developing, you know, gene therapy, because they're not even vaccines. We've spent billions of dollars doing that when, in fact, I think we could have done, I think we could have spent the same money, not saying we shouldn't have done what we did, but we could have spent money on what you're talking about when it comes to proving do people have a natural immunity or even the antibodies from having COVID. And also on top of that, in this day and age, in a first world country like we have here in the U.S., why we don't have an instant COVID reliable test is beyond me.
Well, I can appreciate that frustration, and I shared it as well. So I actually reached out to people that I know and made inquiries to understand, well, what are the problems? And then another thing I was also confused about is, wait a minute, how do we go from we've never heard of COVID to we have a vaccine in 4 months?
Right.
How does that work?
Right.
Okay. And the reality is that SARS really scared the United States and essentially its allies. That was an exceptionally dangerous virus. Now, luckily, it burned itself out. Okay. But that really shook up the medical community. And so we poured in a lot of money to trying to understand, how do we develop vaccines quickly? Excuse me. How do we test for viruses? And these are problems that we've kind of got solved, but we haven't put in enough time, money, and effort to do it consistently. Excuse me. And so, you know, I think we could get there, but only with more effort. And part of it is we may need to look at biological risk in a way that we haven't in the past. We may need to look at, you know, in my opinion, post-COVID, we should look at that type of risk the way we look at geopolitical risk or national security risk. Mm. And we should develop mechanisms, mm-hmm. and we should develop procedures, and we should develop technologies to detect and treat, you know, viruses the way we built amazing tanks and amazing airplanes and aircraft carriers and everything else.
I agree.
Okay?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we're on the same page there. No, good stuff. Brian, do you have any particular work you're doing where folks can learn more about what you've got going on?
Sure. We do advertising and marketing for aviation, aerospace, and defense companies. And you can definitely visit us at theaviationagency.com.
Perfect. Brian, thank you very much. I appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thank you, Brian.
You bet. Have a great evening. We appreciate it. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Get your free health checkup when it comes to your mortgage. Kurt would love to help you with that. It's really easy. Just give him a call. 720-895-0500. Again, 720-895-0500.
Can you believe how low rates are staying? Still in the twos. Back in the 40s and the 50s, rates were in the 5-6% range. How much longer are you going to wait? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Your home has never been worth more. Take AIM to get that lower rate or shorten your term. Lower your payment and pay thousands less in interest. It's your money. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Locally owned and family operated since 2001. Are you ready for the future financially? Many of our clients have the ability to access their equity for 30 years without raising their payments now. This prepares them for those speed bumps of life. Ask how you can become mortgage safe too. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where a reputation of putting you first and listening to you is unmatched in Colorado. Call 720-895-0500 now so you can focus on what's important, family. Regulated by DOR, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, folks, a good shop. I spent some time last hour talking about this. If you've been in an accident at all with everything going on, you need to, A, go to a good shop, get things fixed back up to where it was originally, if not better than original. And again, don't let the insurance company drive where you go to get your vehicle fixed. A good shop can do that for you. They're very qualified, knowledgeable, and have all the certifications to make your vehicle back to new. They've also got a great mobile estimating app. It's on their website. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
You've already decided to take your vehicle to a good shop for auto body work because you know you'll get your vehicle back faster. Now get ready to be wowed. Al Sturm founded a good shop because he wanted to offer his customers convenient service while controlling the quality of his work. Once you go online to get your virtual mobile estimate at klzradio.com/collision, Stop by a good shop in North Glen or Commerce City after hours to drop off your vehicle any day, anytime. Because they have so many different OE certifications, giving them access to parts directly from the manufacturers, Al and his team at a good shop have more control over how long your repairs will take. But more importantly, you know you can trust the safety of your vehicle. Customers continue to come back and refer friends and family because of the wow factor of their flawless finished product. Mention KLZ in your virtual estimate request for $100 off your repairs.
All right, RoofMax. Hey, you're all out there right now, and I'm looking. Andy and I both are.
Yep.
There's a lot of roofs out there that have a lot of white stuff on them.
Yes.
It's called snow. And I'm sure after this storm is over, some of you are going to look at things and think, holy cow, was my roof really up to speed when it comes to all the snow that it was holding up there? I know I'm looking at the same thing thinking, holy cow, I should have probably had Dave out prior to all of this. Dave Hart at RoofMax.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
I mean, these roofs took it, man. They took it on the chin.
Big time. So a lot of you, again, you're going to be thinking about this. You're going to be looking at the roof. It's going to be dry. By the way, your roof, I can tell you right now from looking at mine, it's got 2/3 less snow on it now than it had yesterday, just from the melting that's going on. So your roof will be dry here by weekend. Get Dave out. Get that thing checked. Make sure things are up to speed. And if need be, get that taken care of. And he can rejuvenate the current roof that you have and get a lot more life out of it. That's Dave Hart, RoofMax, 303-710-6916.
RoofMax in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to 3 applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today, myself, Charlie, our engineer, and Andy Pate, of course. And I'll add a couple of things back to what our last guest said, because I kind of feel that because of his position and what he does with the organization he's with and so on, he probably has to be really careful in what he says. And I think as a industry, they don't want anything else being thrown on them than what they already have right now. And I would love to see it get to the point. This isn't going to happen, but my wish would be that the airlines could determine how they want to handle COVID on their own. And if they want everyone to wear a mask, great, let them. If they don't, great, that's fine. Let the customer choose exactly what airline they want to fly on and call it good. That's what I'd like to see happen.
Yeah, but the reason that they don't want that kind of freedom is because the liberals who run certain airlines, they understand that if they impose a mask mandate, they're going to lose business. Most people are sick of the masks, and they will gravitate, just as right now they are gravitating toward states that are more free right in their travel, they will gravitate toward airlines that are more free in their flying.
I tell you what, though, if the airlines aren't careful, this is my prediction, you're going to see a bigger chasm back to even probably when, you know, Andy and Charlie and I were young. When I was young, I don't know about everybody else out there, but in my world, you had to be the haves, not the have-nots, to hop on an airplane.
True.
Because the only people I knew that got on an airplane and flew anywhere, especially for vacation, were those that had something. They were fairly, you know, well-to-do individuals that got on an airplane and went on vacation. Our family, we never hopped on an airplane and went on vacation because we couldn't afford it. So we drove everywhere that we went on vacation back when I was a kid. And I'm afraid that if the airline industry is not careful, the federal government included, they're going to create that chasm once again to where only the haves fly and the have-nots drive.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yeah. And that's a bad thing because there aren't enough of the haves. Okay, sorry, you're trying to make a profit here. This is the Walmart technique. You need volume, baby. You need quantity.
Yeah, if what I'm saying is correct and that happens, you will see a huge shift in the airline industry. You will see half as many planes that are flying now. You will see them cater to the haves, and the prices will go even up, not down. They're going to go up, you know, sky high. You'll probably get a meal back on the plane again like you used to back in the day, but you're going to see a big chasm there if they keep going this direction.
You know, John, I almost wonder, are we basically seeing liberals who run various businesses? Right now we're talking airlines, but there are several, where they are flat out crippling their own market going forward.
Yes. Yes, Andy. Yes, and they're so dumb they don't even see it.
No, they. You know why? Because they like controls. They like the feeling of having a mask on and having everybody around you masked, and they wake up in the morning and they look out. There are people right now who look out at this world of people wearing masks, and they're thrilled.
Yeah. Yes.
They're
yes.
thrilled.
Yes.
Okay.
You're correct.
I mean, the Karens are in control right now, but they're losing their control as these states open up. And you start looking at some of these airlines or businesses where they want to maintain these controls, and more customers are going to say, I want to go somewhere else. I want to take my dollar down there.
Speaking of Karens, you're going to enjoy this.
Okay.
Richard sent me this a little earlier. We have, you know, customers all over the state that we work with when it comes to certain services.
Right.
This was sent to one of my customers in Fort Collins. Two Fort Collins Old Town business owners, property managers, and property owners. Our organization is positioning to begin a boycott of businesses and properties that do not shovel their sidewalks. Many of the businesses targeted will be those who proclaim a deep commitment to the community, yet are unable or simply unwilling to support their neighbors in the community by shoveling the snow from their properties. Their disregard for the community and their own patrons will be highlighted in this boycott. If you're one of those businesses or property owners, we urge you to show you actually care about the community and the safety and convenience of your own patrons by removing the snow quickly from your premises and the bordering sidewalks. We all know the sun will shine soon and melt the snow away, as we suspect that is built into your business model. But you hope, or you may hope, the snow melts before the city can contact you, or perhaps you rely on the city not contacting you. That is not enough. Please be a part of our community, not just another profiteer. Sincerely, community members who actually believe in the possibility of a better community.
That will actually work. And I'm against it, obviously, but what I'm saying is you have so many businesses right now because of COVID who are terrified of losing any sales.
Yeah.
That any Karen who rises up and does something like that, they'll probably respond.
Norm in Denver, you're next, sir.
Hi, it's Norm.
How you doing, Norm?
All right. I just came back from Costa Rica, and the airline, I had the letter saying I have antibodies, I was good to travel, and they said they didn't care, they wanted antigens. So luckily I was able to get my letter revised, and I didn't have to take a test.
Really?
Antigens.
Antigens.
They're saying that's what the stick-up-your-nose tests for.
Right, right. So you were able to. So you were able to prove that, and you were good?
My doctor revised the letter, and they accepted it, and yes. And they say there's a 15-minute Abbott Labs test that you open up on a Zoom call, and the doctor sees you administer it, and then the results are done in 15 minutes. She was going to make me go do that if I didn't have my letter.
And that was, and real quick, just so I'm clear on this, that was leaving the U.S. or coming back to the U.S.?
Coming to the U.S.
So coming back from Costa Rica.
Right.
Okay.
They needed me to have an insurance policy to go to Costa Rica, so I'm not a burden on them if I got sick.
Right, I knew that.
Coming back was the U.S. required either the test within 3 days or the letter from the doctor.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I've not been out of the country since, well, let me rephrase this. I've not been out of the country since the CDC required us coming back in to have a negative COVID test. So you're the first person, by the way, that I've actually talked to in person that's done that.
Yeah. And I know a couple of people that went to Cabo and Cancun, but I haven't really talked to them. They had a good time, and
they rubbed it in when it was 7 below, so I left town too.
Awesome, awesome. I've been to Mexico before the CDC issued their stupid thing about having to have a negative test to come back into the country, but I haven't since then. And yeah, it is nice, by the way.
Yep.
Appreciate it. Norm, thanks for the update. Let's take a quick break. Novus Auto Glass coming up next. Folks, again, with everything going on right now with the weather that we've had, I don't know about the rest of you, but I have seen several different rocks and things along those lines flying up at me, trying to dodge those best you can without causing an accident. If you're one of those, though, that couldn't dodge and you got something in the windshield, whether it cracked it, chipped it, broke it, go to Novus Auto Glass. They can help you with any of the above. It's really simple. Find a location near you, rushtoreason.com/Novus. Again, rushtoreason.com/Novus. And don't forget, they work with all insurance companies.
Take control of the process with Novus Auto Glass. Insurance companies want you to use one of their recommended shops, so they get a discount. John Rush endorses Novus Auto Glass because he trusts the quality of their work. In today's modern car, your windshield has become a structural component of your vehicle. Unlike in classic cars, where your windshield was just something to look through, today's windshields bear pressure as part of the frame. Your windshield has become a safety feature of your vehicle, so quality repairs matter. With every repair or replacement, Novus Auto Glass records detailed specs, including the temperature outside, the serial number of the vehicle, and the type of urethane they use, so you can have confidence that your windshield won't pop out at the wrong moment. Instead of letting your insurance company choose the cheapest option, take control of the quality with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass now at rushtoreason.com.
All right, Extreme Auto Repair folks, and yes, a lot of you have used your vehicles extensively, heavily, I should say, through this last weekend with all the snow and things that we've had. And yes, that can put some things, some taxing things on the vehicle, especially if you found some, if you're one of those people that found yourself stuck. And by the way, I saw lots of individuals stuck. I watched somebody today getting pushed out of a spot because they were stuck. So, and by the way, wheels were spinning, they were rocking it back and forth, and those are all a no-no on today's modern cars. So if that's you, and you've been in that situation, get the vehicle checked out. Extreme Auto Repair and Parker can do that for you. Find them at klzradio.com or call 303-841-1071.
The team at Extreme Auto Repair doesn't normally let their customers drive loaner vehicles to California, but they do keep their promises. It was right before Thanksgiving, and they had promised a customer he'd have his minivan back in time for his upcoming road trip. But they ran into an unexpected issue and had to order a new part, which wasn't going to arrive in time. He needed to get going, and they still had his car taken apart back in their service bays. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker had a quick discussion to figure out how they could still keep their promise. Fortunately, they happened to have a minivan available as a loaner vehicle at the time, so they decided to tell him to take it on his trip. They didn't charge him for mileage, and they made sure he was fully covered so he didn't need to worry. The team at Extreme Auto Repair will always do what they say. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Choose an agent that represents you, not the insurance company. Call Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts, an independent insurance broker, for a complimentary analysis of your current insurance plans. 303-423-0162.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 56, and myself, Andy, and Charlie. One thing I told you we would do in 5 o'clock is the new words added by the dictionary.
Okay. What are they?
There's a lot, by the way.
New words.
You know, sometimes they'll add words because they're just more commonly used, and so they accept them. Like ain't. You know, it used to be when you were kids, your mom or dad would say, ain't in the dictionary. Well, it is now.
Right.
Okay, so that's kind of what I'm talking about. So, there are several new words that have been added this year, and you need to go read the article because there's 600 new words and definitions, and just like most of the politicians and academia today, they're following suit with even making sure that we capitalize certain words. And by the way, the dictionary says we're no longer allowed to use the word slave.
We can't use the word slave.
No, we cannot use that word any longer.
Then what was that thing that we were against that happened for the first near century of our country's existence?
We're not supposed to use that.
Because I think that was a bad thing, John.
Any longer. We have reviewed the use of the noun slave in defining language across our entire dictionary. It is painfully clear that referring to enslaved people as slaves has the effect of dehumanizing those subjects to chattel slavery. Use of the noun slave in this way also obscures the responsibility of those who upheld and benefited from such an institution.
Okay, so this is basically the dictionary version of tearing down statues.
Basically, yes.
Gosh.
Yes, and so we are, one of the new words, by the way, I should have said this, one of the new words added this year is, hold on, I've got to look here again. Hold on one second here. I'm two different articles that I'm looking at here, so hang on one second. Supposedly is now being added to the dictionary because it technically, Charlie, was not a word before, right? Supposedly was not a word prior to now.
Supposedly. Is not a word. It's look, that's simply people who don't understand how to say the word supposedly.
Well, it's now a new word, supposedly. S-U-P-P-O-S-A-B-L-Y, supposedly.
It's simply poor English.
And
it's not a word.
Finna is a new word that's been added now.
Finna. What the heck is that?
Finna is a phonetic spelling representing the African-American vernacular English variant of fixing to. I'm a finna. So I'm a finna to go home in a few minutes there.
So we're what we're doing is putting into the dictionary idiot speak. How about nuclear? Why don't we use nuclear?
I'm
now?
Just giving you the rather words than that are now in the dictionary,
folks.
Andy.
It's nuclear. It's nuclear.
I'm just telling you what nuclear. The dictionary says.
Nuclear is going to be next.
600
is nuclear
new words.
In there.
I didn't go down the 600 words. There's 450 new entries, 94 new definitions, and 700 new pronunciations. It's a lot of changes. English language is always changing.
All they're doing is setting in stone idiocy.
It's what, Charlie? It's Phineas change, he said.
I'm sorry.
All right, we got to take our last break. All right.
Okay.
One thing that doesn't change is the service level at Purify Chevrolet. They'll take care of you. It's like going back in time to buy a car. And maybe through this weekend you realized, hey, I don't have the right car for Colorado. If that's you, head to Purify Chevrolet. They'll take care of you in Fort Lupton, 303-659-8311, or shop online at purifychevrolet.com.
The team at Purifoy Chevrolet will never hold you captive or try to force you to buy a new or used vehicle. In a recent Jalopnik article, a consumer protection attorney shared stories of the ridiculous high-pressure tactics used by some auto dealers. In one extreme example, a customer was reportedly prevented from leaving by having her vehicle blocked. In another, more common situation, customers had their car keys hidden from them to keep them from leaving until they agreed to purchase a vehicle. These customers had to call the police before the dealerships would let them drive away. The team at Purifoy Chevrolet sets themselves apart simply by treating their customers with respect. They still follow the standard of customer service set by Rolly's father back in 1960. Ask about their zero-interest financing and vehicles delivered straight to your door. Purifoy Chevrolet in Fort Lupton, only a 20 to 30-minute drive from anywhere in Denver. Find them now at klzradio.com/Chevy. Find new roads.
All right, we're back. John, you've got 40 seconds. Go for it, sir.
If you can't use the word slave anymore, I guess we'll have to get rid of slave owners and master owners.
John,
no slave owners.
You are correct. Actually, I have a little something that I will. I played it on Drive Radio a few weeks ago, but I will. I tell you what, I will play it tomorrow, sometime during the show that goes along with what John is saying. New terminology in the automotive world, things that you cannot say anymore. John, I'll play that tomorrow for you, sir.
Yeah, no slave cylinders on your
That's plate. Right. No more slave cylinders. You got it. John, thanks as always. I appreciate it. That's going to do it for us today. Yeah. By the way, if any of you missed any of our past shows or even what we did today, you can always find it on our podcast. Just go right to the website, rushtoreason.com. You can find them there. Myself, Andy, and Charlie signing off tomorrow, Wellness Wednesday. Enjoy your evening. Andy, thanks so much as always.
Always fun to be here.
Guys, be safe. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.